We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Behold the wood of the cross, whereon was hung the Savior of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Silence. Silence is not visible, and yet its existence is apparent. It extends to the farthest distance, yet it is so close to us that we can feel it as concretely as our own bodies. It is intangible, yet we feel it as directly as we feel materials and fabrics. It cannot be defined in words, yet it is undefinable and unmistakable. These words of Max Picard, a Swiss writer during World War II, capture our encounter with silence. We need not venture far to know of this silence that is quite definable and yet unmistakable. In the wake of World War II, as Max Picard is writing, we need only consider the many, including Lily, who never was able to tell her family, her own sons, of what really happened during the war. The details they know, she tells them, are only facts. The feelings that surround her experiences cannot be contained in words. They are unspeakable, indescribable. The many voices that have been silenced by unjust powers and even death. In our own lives, we know of this silence, entering the hospital rooms, listening as the monitors fade to quiet, longing to hear a faint whisper, a breath, a heartbeat. It is a moment when we fear that death may have the final word. And all too frequently, we as a community have held moments of silence. Moments of silence for unspeakable acts of violence. From Abel to Auschwitz to school shootings to our very own streets, times when no words can fill the void. Where hushed and reverent silences are the only sounds that give honor. You see, these moments of silence are ones where we recognize the sins of the whole world. And if we are honest with ourselves and take the moment, it is a time of silence when we examine our own sins, the ways we inflict cruelty upon others, the ways we have failed and turned against one another and God. On this Good Friday, we gather as a community in silence. And in one sense, yes, we reflect upon the suffering of our Lord. And we also reflect of our own sins. We recognize that Jesus' death is not because of any one group of people, but it is a death in which the Lord willingly lays down his life as a shepherd for his sheep, facing the powers of darkness because all of us have sinned and fallen short. As we hear from our reading from Isaiah, we, like the people of Israel, are like sheep that have gone astray. In Isaiah, we hear of the servant who is the key, who is a channel of God's grace to sinners. The work of the Lord is nowhere more clearly seen than in this suffering servant, the arm of the Lord. Yet as the sheep have all gone astray, the servant is like a lamb to go in place of the sheep. We hear, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Both Israel and the whole world witness this servant who takes our place, bearing the transgressions to redeem the whole world. Yes, the lamb is silent, but his presence is powerful. Like a lamb that has led to the slaughter, so he did not open his mouth. But this is a silence of power, a powerful presence that makes all things possible. For in the silence of the servant, the powers of the world are silenced. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, we hear. This is Israel's Messiah, King and Savior, that silences the kings of the world. When we hear from John's Gospel, we see that Jesus, God's Son, God himself, is a type of this servant. It is the Word made flesh whose silence silences the words of humanity. And in our day, don't we know of the words of humanity? We can only think of this age of the internet with endless blog posts and media articles, instant communication that floods our senses with words. We keep at bay the silence that we fear, as in war and as in hospital rooms, of death. Words are indeed plentiful. But today, we encounter the word that silences all these other words. All these words of the powers of the world, of sin, of Satan, and yes, even death. This is a silence of love poured into the world to redeem it. It is a silence of the shepherd who has become a lamb, laying down his life for the sheep, of loving his sheep to redeem the whole world. Oh, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is a silence of awe because death does not have the final word. The silence of death is broken. In the Passion narrative we have just heard from John's Gospel, Jesus the Word speaks. The Word speaks words of confidence and clarity, declaring where true power is to be found. Words of "I am He" that brings everyone around to their knees. Words that declare, "My kingdom is not from this world." Words that unmask Pilate and Herod and the powers of the world, reducing them to a dying murmur. The Word, when crucified, is revealed and reigns as King, lifted high above where all can see. Behold the wood of the cross whereon was hung the Savior of the world. Lift high above with a title that all could read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, all the great languages of the day, charged with claiming to be king instead of Caesar. Yet the words of the Word declare confidently, "My kingdom is not from this world. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice, that sweet voice of the shepherd who loves his sheep, that sweet voice of the true King." Jesus Christ, the world's Redeemer from the cross, now reigns as King. In his words from the cross, we hear, "It is finished." He swallowed up our very worst in ever greater divine mercy. You see, Christ was all suffering that we may be all joy, wounded that we may all be healed, athirst that we may all drink, bore a thorny crown that we may bear a royal diadem, made a shame that we may inherit glory, entered darkness that we may inherit eternal life, closed his eyes in death that we may gaze in him and live forever. Yes, there is silence this day, and as we have heard, like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, so he did not open his mouth. But the silence of the Word is not the end, and it is infinitely more powerful than all of our words. Yes, there is still suffering in the world, But in the suffering with Lily and Max and with our very own lives, the crucified Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks the wonderful word of the wonderful God. He groans that we may have an endless song. He takes away our tears and misery so they may no longer be ours. He speaks the wonderful word to deliver and save, knowing our very worst, our faults and failures infinitely more than we do, and hating them infinitely more than we ever could. Yet he passes them by, not condemning, but delivering and saving. Oh, behold the wood of the cross, whereon was hung the Savior of the world. So on this Good Friday, as we stand at the foot of the cross, as we watch the silence of the tomb, of a burial fit for a king, we await to hear that word break the silence. The silence we know that no mere human words are able to break, no matter how loud. That silence of death that we know that the word destroys. Tonight, as we kneel in silent prayer, as we venerate the hard wood of the cross, as we depart once more in silence, a silence that cannot be defined in words, yet is quite definable and unmistakable, we await and we look towards tomorrow night when we will hear once more the silence of death broken by the word. For the word silences the powers of the world. Sin, Satan, and yes, even death. In our silence, as we sit at the foot of the cross in awe of the shepherd who becomes the lamb, whose love for us redeems the world, we long to hear anew those words, "He is risen," as they arise out of the silence. You see, tonight, the silence is one of awe and adoration. For we adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Behold the wood of the cross, whereon was hung the Savior of the world. Amen.